Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Father, we thank you for this study that you're giving us concerning the tribes of Israel. Father, you blessed your people. Father, and there's lessons that we can learn from this that we can apply to our life. And it all comes down to you, Lord. It all points to Jesus in everything. So today, give us, Father, ears to really hear, not to think we know what that's saying, but help us to really hear with our spirit what you're saying to us today, Father, to leave this place encouraged, God, as we've already been encouraged this morning, Father, as we believe, Lord, as Jacob blessed his children, God, so we bless our children with light and salvation and love and life, God. And so we declare with the prophet, Father, that every Jericho they have rebuilt in their life is torn down in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, and that they will be used to build the old waste places and the ruined places, Father. That you will raise them up as a generation to rebuild what has been torn down and laid desolate, Father, for your kingdom, Lord. We believe that, God. We anticipate that something wonderful is going to happen for our children today in you, Lord. This month, now, God, the month of a new beginning, God. Something wonderful and marvelous only you can do, God. That you're going to demonstrate to us, Father, that you hear our prayers and you are with our children, God. Something, God, only you can do, God. And we give you the glory for it now, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for Shirley. I thank you for the word you've given her. As we listen to her, as she teaches us concerning the tribe of Simeon. Thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
Simeon, the son of Jacob. Leah named her second son Simeon, son of Jacob, saying, because God has heard that I am unloved, he has given me this one also. Simeon was a hot-blooded youth, often reacted quickly and physically, especially when paired with his brother Levi. When their sister Dinah was kidnapped by the prince of Shechem, Simeon and Levi slaughtered the men of the city, ignoring the fact that Dinah's other brothers had already convinced the residents of Shechem to circumcise themselves and live in peace with Jacob's family. We'll find that in Genesis 24. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to go back and look at the scripture. Jacob sold this reckless behavior, saying, you have brought trouble upon me, making me odious among the land's inhabitants. I am few in number, and should they band together and attack me, I will be destroyed, I and my household. Simeon and Levi, however, challenged their father's demanded, should he treat our sister like a harlot? This righteous temper remained with Simeon. The Midrash identified Simeon as the one who called out, the screamer is coming, when the brothers see Joseph approaching in Genesis 37:19, and also as the one who threw Joseph into the pit. Many years later, when the brothers went down to Egypt, Joseph demanded that Simeon be imprisoned while the others returned home to get Benjamin. Genesis 42:18-24. Simeon and Levi, the brothers, instruments of cruelty, are their force. In their secret counsel, let my soul not come and my honor not be included in their congregation. For in their anger, they killed a man, and they deliberately crippled an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is powerful, and their rage, for it is cowardly. I shall separate them between Jacob and disperse them among Israel. That was Jacob's blessing on Simeon in Genesis 49:5-7. On his deathbed, Jacob rebuked the brothers so that their descendants would learn that outright cruelty is a behavior foreign to our people. So in Genesis 34:30-31, this is where in 34, Dinah was the child. And if Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, after they went and killed the men and took them. You have caused me a lot of trouble. This is what Jacob said. All the people in this place, all the Canaanites and the Hezekites turn against me. There are only a few of us. If the people in this place gather together to fight against us, I will be destroyed. And all our people will be destroyed with me. But the brothers said, should we let these people treat our sister like a prostitute? They were wrong to do that to our sister. So Jacob says he was being troubled, but I have a commentary that says Jacob, one commentator says, Jacob brought this trouble on himself. He passed his own deceitful nature into his bosom. He set a constant example of gossip. Jacob's boy heard him lie to Esau at Peniel and start northwest after Esau went southeast. They saw that Jacob entered in the pastures when they pitched their tent in Shechem. And Jacob said nothing when Dinah was violent. So we can imagine perhaps his sons were thinking, not saying that it was right, but talk to God about your own sin before talking to us about ours. Sometimes we set the example of what we do. Okay, in Genesis 19 and 20. Let me find it on my page. Okay, Simeon, it is thought that it was Simeon's idea to kill Joseph when they wanted to put Joseph in the down in the pit. It is thought it was Simeon's idea to put him down into the pit. And so in Genesis 42:18-24, let me pull that up. Genesis 42. Okay. 18-24. In that scripture, the brothers had gone to Egypt to get food, and Joseph was in charge. They didn't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized them. On the third day, this is the scripture out of the mess. On the third day, Joseph spoke to them, do this and you'll live. I am a God-fearing man. If you are honest as you say, if you're as honest as you say, boss, one of your brothers will stay here in jail while the rest of you take the food back to your hungry family. But you have to bring your youngest brother back to me, confirming the truth of your speech, and not one of you will die. They agreed. Joseph had been using an interpreter, so they didn't know that Joseph was understanding every word. Joseph turned away from them and cried. When he was able to speak again, he took Simeon and had him tied up, making a prisoner of him while they all walked. Then they started talking among themselves. Now we are paying for what we did to our brother. We saw how terrified he was when he was begging us for mercy. We wouldn't listen to him, and now we're the ones in trouble. Reuben broke in. Didn't I tell you? Don't curse the boy. But no, you wouldn't listen. And now we are paying for his murder. We can see that Simeon was just a bad guy. You know, it was his idea to even put Joseph in the pit and to kill Joseph. So then when they went there, Joseph obviously remembered. He probably heard, which is why he kept Simeon and sent the rest of the brothers home. So in Genesis 49:5-7, this talks of Jacob's blessing on Simeon. Simeon, this is what Jacob said. Simeon and Levi are brothers. They are violent with their sword. I will not join their secret meeting. I will not take part in their evil plans. They have killed people out of anger and crippled animals for fun. Their anger is so strong that it is a curse. They are too cruel when they are angry. They will not get their own land in the land of Satan. They will be spread throughout Israel. So that is what he said. And when we study further, we will find out that Simeon did not get their own land. They got absorbed, I believe, into the tribe of Judah. So in Numbers, when we go to Numbers 25, there's an incident where the men of Israel, begin to have sexual immorality with the Moabitess women. Now, prior to this, this is when Balaam was going to curse Israel, but he couldn't. So they came up with another plan. If you can get the men of Israel to interact with the Moabitess women, we're going to bring them down in. So they, the men of Israel began to indulge in sexual immorality, and God was not pleased. And God told Moses to take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses told the Israel judges, each of you must put to death these of your men who have joined in worship with Baal of Peor. But in all of this, then, in verse 6, it says, I'm in number 25, an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping and repenting at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they're weeping and repenting, and this man brings one of the women there. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, Aaron's priest, saw this, he went in and he drove a spear through the both of them, through the Israelite man and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. What's important about this, down to verse 14, the name of the Israelite who was killed, who Phinehas went in and brought this woman in front of the tent of meeting, was Zimri, son of Salu, the leader of the Simeonite family. Mm-hmm. He was a leader in the Simeonite family. And this brought great reproach on the Simeonite family. We can see in Numbers 1, when they did the first census in Numbers 1, the Simeonites was third largest tribe. About 35 to 40 years later, when the second census was taken in Numbers 26, the Simeonites was the smallest tribe. They went from 59,300 to 22,200. With a loss of 37,100, they became the smallest tribe when the second census was taken. God was not pleased with what they had done. Now, it's not said that even though 24,000 had died in that plague in Numbers 25, it was not necessarily all the Simeonites. It's thought that maybe some of the Simeonites rebelled and they just left. But they got scattered. So the Simeonite tribe, as we know, they got scattered within Israel, well, and the Jews. That's what we thought that I could come up with. The only tribe, he wrote to Deuteronomy 33, when Moses left the tribes of Israel in Deuteronomy 23, Moses, the only tribe that was not left, was the Simeonite tribe. They did not get left because, I guess, of what they had done. So I'm going to close this. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
my goodness. So, you know, I'm just always assuming to my error that that they were blessed by Jacob. Well, actually, they were spoken words, prophetic words that were his last words to his sons. And in some instances, like we see with Simeon, it wasn't good.
Right.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
Amen. Shirley, are you still with us?
I'm with you, yes.
Okay. I don't know if you... I have a question for you real quick, and then I'm going to go into Joseph. Didn't you say it was someone from the tribe of Simeon, though, stood up and took vengeance against that sin that was being conducted in their own family? So it was okay, the one that went in to the and came against the leader who had taken the Mennonite woman, and I believe you said they were in the temple, and wasn't in a...
They were in... Yeah, they went to the tent of meeting, and they had began to sexual immorality with the women of the Moabites.
Okay.
And one of them, that was Simeon, one of the tribes of Simeon leaders, fought the woman right in front of them, and they were repenting, and took her into a room and began to indulge with her. And Stephen, one of the priests, went in and put the sword through the man, the Israelite man who was from the tribe of Simeon, and through the woman.
Okay, so Phineas did that. Was he of the tribe of Simeon?
Was who of the tribe of Simeon? Phineas?
Yes. Was he of the tribe of Simeon?
No.
No, he wasn't.
Phineas was of the tribe of Aaron. He was from Aaron.
Okay.
He was one of the was one of Aaron's children.
Okay, I must have missed
it. It was one of Simeon's descendants that did committed that sexual immorality in front of
Simeon. Okay, that's what I thought. So I just wanted to get clarity on that to make sure I was understanding that right. My goodness. So when oh, Lord, have mercy. So God does not be... That puts a whole new light on be angry but sin not, right? Be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Think about it before you take action. Because those actions...
That's right.
And it's something that stuck out to me, too, just bringing this all back to the body of Christ. If we call ourselves a believer and we don't conduct ourselves in the right way before God, then we put a mar on the body of Christ. We improperly represent the body of Christ. Was one of the things you said that I don't know if Jacob had said, it was just in your commentary, that Simeon falsely represented who God's people, what God's people were to act like or to be like. Is that right?
Right.
Sure. Yeah. By his behavior.
Simeon did what?
Yeah.
Say that again?
Well, Simeon falsely represented what the covenant people were to be like, who they really were.
Right.
Because of that transgression they did. Their sister was violated and they took it into their own hands and they were deceptive. And then you brought out, too, that with Jacob, their father, he was a deceiver and trickster also. But we do have to mention here, thank God, that in Christ Jesus, those generational roots are broken and can be broken through our action, because we can decide not to go that way. We can decide.
Amen.
Just because mom and daddy were that way, or grandparents are that way, doesn't mean we have to be that way.
Right.
We walk that way. Mm-hmm. That's why God said when he visits, you know, that verse where it says, where God says, when Moses said, God, show me your glory, and God hid him in the cleft of the rock and said, Moses, no man can see my glory and live, but I will declare my name to you. And he declares his name. He says, I am a merciful God, showing mercy from generation to generation and visiting the iniquities of the father's children, even to what? The third generation? I think it says, I'm not sure what. Anyway, from generation to generation. But we've had that studied out by a Hebrew scholar, and that's not a bad thing. That means that God will come and visit. Iniquity means the bitterness. That bitterness or that root of iniquity that's all in us. We're born, even the most beautiful child, even my most beautiful little granddaughter, Kaylee Jane, she was born in sin. She was born because she is a descendant of Adam. So, you know, until she comes to the knowledge, as sweet as she is, you know, still she needs Christ as her personal Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, but that bentness, and this just reminds me of this, but that bentness, God told Moses, I will visit the iniquity. The iniquity, that word translates the bentness, like you're bent toward a bad behavior or bad toward doing something from generation to generation to generation. It's been a bad habit that's followed in your family. But the Lord says, I will visit the iniquity. That means he will visit it because he wants to deliver you from it.
Yes.
Yes.
See, I always looked at that as a negative word, but it's not. It's a positive word. God, visit my bentness, God.
Yeah.
Even in my bentness, even though I'm, there's still some things in me, I can still worship God in my bentness, bentness, and things in me that aren't where they need to be, right?
Right.
In all of us, right? Is that right? But so when I worship God in that, because my heart's desire is that I want to be changed.
Amen.
I remember something Mr. Lord said years and years ago to me when she had acted up and done something. She said, she got home, she said, Lord, I don't want to act like that. I don't want to be like that, Lord. And that stuck with me, you know, when I do things that don't properly represent Christ. And I remember those words, God, I don't want to be like that.
Amen.
I don't want to do that. That's not who you called me to be. That's not who I am. Well, that was a good word. That just, I had to bring that around to hope. I had to bring that back around to hope, Shirley, because in Christ there is hope no matter what, you know, a lineage is like, you know, there is hope, so I have to believe in God that there was some good in that tribe. There was some good. So we're going to give you an assignment, ma'am. We're going to give you an assignment to find us some good in that tribe.
Amen.
Amen. You have a thought? Carolyn? Carolyn's got a thought.
Going back to Abraham. Mm-hmm.
What's my assignment? What is my
assignment? Your assignment, ma'am, is to find us some good. Something good had to come out of that tribe of Simeon. So find us some good in that tribe in Scripture, okay?
Okay,
amen.
I will do that.
I know you will. I know you will. There's got to be some good there. I believe it.
I got to do the same for my tribe, too.
Your tribe was...
For tribe Dan.
Dan. She's got to do the same thing,
Going back to Abraham, when God made Abraham the promise that his descendants would be multiply higher than
The sands of the sea.
Even though they sin or whatever, they still in that covenant.
That's right. God is a merciful God. That's right. God is a merciful God. Okay, well, I'm going to go on to Joseph. Shirley, we hope you stay with us, but I'm going to go on to Joseph, okay? Amen. Okay. Sounds great. Thank you. Thank you for good job. Good job.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Miss Vertel had Joseph, but she asked me to take Joseph, so I'm going to do that. And there's so much about Joseph. There's no way. I mean, there's no way. There's no way to cover it all. But I'm going to start with Genesis 49, which is Jacob's last words. Yeah, but I'm going to wrap it up today because I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me. Amen.
Okay.
I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you the whole load, as Brother Tommy would say. There's a little bit of cows in the stall, so don't feed them like there's a whole herd, okay? So, amen. Here we go. Okay, Genesis 49, the blessing that was spoken over Joseph, starting at verse 22. Joseph is a foal of a wild donkey, or the offspring of a wild donkey. Mm-hmm. A foal of a wild donkey at a spring, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Archers attacked him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him. Well, we saw that through how his brothers treated him, didn't we? Okay. But his bow remained taut. His bow remained strong. He remained strong, full of courage. He stayed focused, okay? But his bow remained taut, and his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel. So even in his distress and trouble, he stayed strong with God, keeping his eyes and his focus on God, okay? May the God of your father help you, and see this word spoken over Jacob, spoken prophetically over Joseph. He didn't know what Joseph was going to go through. Everything was going to happen to him. May the God of your father help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above and blessings of the watery depths below and the blessings of the breast and womb. May the blessings of your father surpass the blessings of the ancient mountains, reaching to the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, who is a prince among his brothers. Who is a prince among his brothers. Okay. So, let's look at Moses' blessing. Deuteronomy 33:7. Moses' blessing over Joseph. And actually, I need to correct myself. If these are recorded in order of event, this is a blessing spoken over Joseph after he went through this with his brothers. So I need to correct myself on that, okay? Now, Deuteronomy 33:17 is Moses' blessing. Moses also spoke a blessing over every tribe, okay? 33:17. Joseph has the majesty of a young bull. He has the horns of a wild ox. So anytime you see that in scripture, a wild ox, that's pertaining to strength. That's pertaining to strength. And horns is pertaining to strength. He has the horns of a wild ox. He will gore distant nations, driving them to the ends of the earth. This is my blessing for the multitudes of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Well, we know that Jacob blessed Joseph's two children before he left the earth. And his two children were Manasseh and Ephraim. Amen? Manasseh being the oldest born and Ephraim being the second born. Remember the same thing that happened to Jacob and Esau. Also happened to these two boys. The blessing was supposed to come on the firstborn, actually, and the blessing of the Lord went on the secondborn. So you see it from generation to generation. But I'm just going to read a little bit of this to you. Let's look at the birth of Joseph, Genesis chapter 30. And like I said, there's so much here, there's no way that we can cover it all. We're just going to hit some highlights because I see Joseph as a type of Christ. Mm-hmm. He's a type of Christ. In lots of ways, and that would be a beautiful study for somebody just to study out. But Genesis 30, verse 22, we see the birth of Joseph. Then God remembered Rachel's plight and answered her prayers by enabling her to have children. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. God has removed my disgrace. Is what she said. God has removed my disgrace, she said. And she named him Joseph. For she said, may the Lord add yet another son to my family. Like he was the beginning. May God from this point add another son. And for some reason she decided to stop at one and not have more than one. But she said, add another son to my family. Well, I see this as a type of Christ because in Christ Jesus, God has removed disgrace from our life. Amen? He has graced us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn, and Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. That's what the scripture says. He's the firstborn. So I see, even in what Rachel spoke concerning Joseph, that God has removed my disgrace. Well, that's why I'm saying Joseph to me is a type of Christ. This is what was ministered to me as I studied Joseph, because it all comes back to the Lord. It's all about Jesus. Everything in Scripture is written. It has its culmination, its peak in the Lord Jesus. It's all about Him. It really is all about Him. So she said, God's removed my disgrace. I've been disgraced, but God has removed it. God has shown me grace or favor. Amen? Amen. And from this point, God's going to bring increase. And that's what God does in Christ Jesus, right? We're the first. He's the firstborn, and he has many brethren to follow. So that's why I'm saying he's a beautiful picture of Christ. Well, I want to look at too that there's a great lesson in forgiveness in Joseph. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. That's a great lesson in forgiveness here. Okay, we see here that that in chapter 50 that Jacob is going the way of the earth, and Joseph throws himself on his father and weeps over him, and Jacob gets embalmed there, and then there's a great processional where Joseph asks, "Can I take my father back to the land that he be buried?" Because Jacob had made them swear to him that you take me back, I don't want to be buried here in this strange land. I want to go back and be buried in Shechem, in the tomb of my father Abraham. And so I just had this picture when I was studying all this. You know, all through the Bible and history, the Jewish, the Hebrew nation has really been a despised nation. They really have.
Yes.
Been a despised nation.
Right.
And look how God says, if you follow me and with all of your heart, and you walk with me with all of your heart, even those, I will just show you off. I will just do wonderful things right in the middle of those that despise you. Just barely, let me have this moment. Can you imagine what a procession that was with Joseph dressed in all the garb and fancy things of Egypt? Because that was the highest pinnacle nation there was at that time. Egypt was the highest pinnacle nation. Can you know how he was promoted to be second in charge? Only Pharaoh had more authority than him. Pharaoh gave him permission to lead this great processional with the body that had been embalmed, with Jacob's body, back to Shechem. Can you all just imagine? This is just my, I had this moment. I said, God, can you just imagine all the enemies sitting there and looking at Israel? Well, there's the greatest power in the world, and God is leading a procession. Talk about covenant. Even though you sin and do wrong, but you have a covenant, and you ask God for mercy, and you know that in Christ Jesus, God will show mercy. God's people don't grab a hold of mercy enough.
Yeah.
God, it's in your. I rely on your mercy every day, God. Not on my good works, but on your mercy. I can't boast in anything good. If anything good happens to me in life, God, it's just because you chose to be good to me.
Yes.
Glory to God. So I just have this picture in my mind. Here's Egypt, just this great processional going along, and people just standing along watching, like, who is that? Oh, that is Jacob. That is Jacob. And they're taking him back to Shechem to be buried. And that just speaks to me of how even though your enemies despise you or they hate you for no reason, even though wrong has been done to you, but you walk right before God, God will show you off. God will, in the end, make you look good.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we
it's
serve.
It's like Dr. Emmanuel said saw her, and she said that the Lord will cause the devil to bless you.
That's right, and it's the truth.
Uh-huh.
That is the
truth.
That's
what Dr. Emmanuel just said the last couple weeks. He will use the devil.
Amen. Yes, he will.
Slap in their face.
Amen. Amen. But these lessons in forgiveness, you had a thought, were you going to say something? Okay, Carolyn wanted to say something. Okay.
There's two things in that. Rachel repented for taking the mandrake.
Oh, thank you.
Thinking that she could get pregnant. Because remember, she wanted the mandrake.
Uh-huh.
Potiphar's. Can you imagine Potiphar and his wife seeing this possession.
Oh my goodness.
Because he had him put back in jail.
Had Joseph.
Because of the lie his wife told.
In front of your enemies. Prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies.
Exactly.
I'm so glad you. In the presence of your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad you said that about Rachel.
Yeah.
Because that's when we receive God's grace and we repent.
Yeah,
because
she repented. She said, you know, God has taken
removed
away
my disgrace.
Uh-huh.
Ain't that repentance?
That is. Mm-hmm. That is. Thank you for sharing that. That is beautiful. But back in Genesis 50, that's all good. Very good. Okay, so this is happening in Pharaoh, verse 6. Pharaoh agrees to Joseph's request, go bury your father. And then verse 10, they arrive at the threshing floor of Adad near the Jordan River. They held a great, very great and solemn memorial service with a seven-day period of mourning for Joseph's father. The local residents, the Canaanites, watched them mourning at the threshing floor of Adad. Then they remained in that place, which is near Jordan, Abel Mizraim, for they said, "This is a place of deep mourning for the Egyptians." So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them, obedience to their father. They carried his body to the land of Canaan. They buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre. This is the cave that Abraham had bought as a permanent burial site from Ephraim the Hittite. Now, also, Joseph had made the same request before he went the way of the earth. He requested that his bones be taken back with him, because that was not his land.
Right.
That was not his land. That's Exodus 13:19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. See, Moses was an admirable man. He remembered. Mm-hmm. He did that promise. See, he did. Joseph had promised his people, and Moses kept that. Did he have to? No. Should he have? Yes.
Yes.
Did he go through, follow through? Yes. God says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Mm-hmm. Swear to your own hurt and change not. If you make it, that's why be careful of the oath or vow commitment mm-hmm. that you make. But Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Joseph had made the sons of Israel to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you.
Yes.
Joseph said this. God will certainly come to help. We've got a good word to speak of our children. God will certainly come to help them and to redeem them and rescue them from darkness. He will certainly do it.
And Joseph's bones went across dry land.
What about that? Joseph's bones went across dry land. Oh, hallelujah. That's good, Tammy. That's good. When he does this, Joseph said, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. And Acts 7:16 also refers to where he was buried in the tomb of his father. Now see, that's a huge kudo, if you want to say a kudo, however that word, kudos, however you want to say, a huge blessing or that's a huge, that you are buried in the tomb of Abraham and your father, and Joseph was buried there. But it comes down to how you conduct your life, y'all. It comes down to faithfulness. I thank God often for the faithfulness in this body. I don't know if you know it now or you understand it, but there is a reward all the time when I think about this body. God, there is a reward for those who have remained faithful to this body. There, you can say you're with us, but your actions speak louder than your words. And I know there are situations where people are away right now, and I understand that, and that's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is that God still sees faithfulness.
Amen.
God honors and recognizes faithfulness.
Yes.
To the faithful, he says he will show himself to be faithful. There's a reward for faithfulness.
Amen.
There is. Okay, let's go to verse 14. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him, they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you. That's a good thing. Headed off at the pass. Amen.
Yeah.
Headed off. To say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you, they humble themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Joseph, you know, I've heard it said before, the worst kind of unforgiveness is the kind where you feel like you have a right not to forgive. That is the worst kind of unforgiveness, and it is so true. It will build a root of bitterness in us, that, and I say us because all of us have to guard against it. It will build a root of bitterness in us, and out of that root of bitterness will come every other evil work. Unforgiveness, cruelty, hatred, lying, slander, stealing, backbiting, even adultery. Everything can come from a root of bitterness. And the worst kind is that God, I have a right to be angry. Joseph had every right.
Yes.
This is Christ. Jesus had every right. This is a picture of Christ. Jesus had every right in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had every right to say, you know, Father, he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. He, the creator of all humanity, He, Lord God Almighty, who created everything, everything was made by Him, for Him, and through Him. And He, the ones that He created were the ones that were killing Him. He talk about unforgiveness. He had every right not to forgive, but yet He chose to forgive. Here's Joseph. Joseph had every right to be bitter. And what does Joseph say? When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God?
Mm-hmm.
What does that show me? When I harbor unforgiveness, I'm saying, you ought to be afraid of me. I'm holding you hostage in my mind. I'm holding you hostage in my emotions. And we're making ourselves to be God. We're making ourselves to be God. Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You know what? Because we do that in our emotions, God, people. When we don't forgive people, we're punishing them in our emotions.
Yes. Yes.
And then if they are, that person is between you, me, and God. That is holding me from getting to God. They're closer to God than I am.
Whoa.
When I'm holding that.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. We have. That's why we have to forgive.
Wow.
So I consistently say, I forgive others as high as Christ has forgiven me.
That's correct. Just
so
like
in
we
receive. We got to keep that.
That's right.
Keep that mindful.
That's right. And we have an unredeemed mind. And we have to redeem our soul in the Word of God.
And it's the constant thing in your mind too.
Yes, it is.
You know it's not right.
That's right. And when that thought comes, that's a perfect time to bless them. Amen. That's what Peter said. You were called to this that you might inherit a blessing. What is the this? You were called to this moment in your life when you're reviled, spoken evil of for my sake and persecuted for my sake. You were called to this that to bless them that you might inherit. It's a setup for a blessing.
Yes.
That you might inherit a blessing. God's saying, come on, I believe she'll do it. You know, I believe when this thought comes, I believe she'll bless her. Because I want to bless her so much. I want to bless her so much. God has more confidence in us than we have in ourselves. Amen. So Joseph says, a type of Christ here. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Even for your good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people.
Mm-hmm.
Christ again.
Mm-hmm.
Christ again in crucifying him. They meant it for harm, but God the Father meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
That through his suffering, many would be saved, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a type of Christ there?
Yes.
It is. So God brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children, Carmen, and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Father, deal kindly with our children in Christ Jesus, Lord. Father God, you brought your son to this position and this place. What position and place, church? He brought them to Calvary, to the position of the cross, Lord God. You brought Christ to that position of Calvary, Father, so it will turn out for good for our children, God. So deal kindly with our children in Christ Jesus. Yes, Lord, deal with them as we're studying about the ancestry of Jacob and the children of Jacob, Father. So we remember our children, Father God. Father, we know that you have to deal with sin in their life. Father, we know that. We realize that, Father. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is life in Christ Jesus. And Father, you said that mercy triumphs over judgment, God. So Father, show them the kind of mercy, God, that causes them to repent.
Yes.
Lord God, even as you said through the prophetess that was here, Jane, Lord God, when you spoke concern over one of our children, God, that they would have an encounter with you, God. So Father, we pray for our seed in this envelope, Father, adding Matthew and Tiffany to that list, Father, because Nancy has joined herself with us. She never really left us, God. But Father God, as Karma reminded me yesterday, that we need to get a picture of her seed in this envelope, Father God, as we speak concerning our children, God, Lord God, that they will have a vision, God, in the night, God. They will have dreams and visions of you and an encounter with you, God, that will transform and change their life. And they'll never, never go back the other way, God. And they will reach out to their parents, Father God, and they will tell their parents about this encounter that they've had with you, God. And they will be like the man in the gospel that says, now I believe because I've seen him for myself. I've seen him for myself. They won't be, we serve the children. We serve the God of our mother and father. We serve our God. We serve our God, not just the God of our mother. He's not just the God of my parents, but he's my God.
Yes.
Woo! He's my Savior.
Yes.
Thank you. We believe, God. We believe, God, that something good is happening right now for our children, God. We expect the marvelous. We expect the wonderful. We expect your mercy, God, that you're visiting them with your mercy, God. We expect to see it, God, because we hope and trust in you. And we learn this lesson from Joseph, Father. And this is a blessing for this week, Father. We bless ourselves with this word, Father, that any time in our life, Father, where in the enemy, and our enemy is Satan, we don't war against flesh and blood, where the enemy has brought things against us that meant for harm, Father God, you will turn it for good. Father, that's our blessing. We bless ourselves with this word, Father. Every adverse thing that's happened to us in life, Father, everything that are out of our control or in our control, Father, we come before you. We repent. We repent, Father. Repent before you, Father. We ask you for mercy, Father, that you not remember us according to our iniquities and transgressions, Father, but you remember us according to your loving kindness and your unfailing mercy, Father. For you are a good God. You are a good God, Father. And everything that is meant to be evil that came against us in life, that Father, you will, and against our seed, God, that you will turn it for good. And just like Joseph said, so we declare and decree the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give life. And Father, you said here through Joseph, Father, not only would you remember Joseph's brothers for good, but Joseph said, I remember your children for good too. So Father, remember our children.
Yes,
for good, Father. In your holy name, Father, we believe, God. Father, we've seen some good work. Father, we've seen the light begin to crack in the life of our children. But Father, we know there's more that's got to happen. God, there's more. They got to be sold out to you, God. Every area of their life and their finances, Lord, how they deal with their finances, God. In every area of their life, God, how they treat others, where the words that come out of their mouth, Father. Those that are living in sin and adultery, Father God, you know, God, those that are living in places where they should not be living, Father. You know what's in my heart. I don't need to speak it out, God. You know what's in my heart. You know what I carry in my heart concerning my children, Father. And we pray this concerning all of our children, God. That's not right, God. It doesn't please you, God. We want our children to be right with you, God. We want them to be right with you, God. We're not ignorant, God, that you don't bless some things, God. But, God, we're crying out to you in mercy, God. And we're asking you to deal with them about the things in their life that need to be dealt with, God. To come to them, to speak to them through your word, God, to get them on the right track, Father, so they can be blessed by you, God. Father, we celebrate the good things we've seen you do in our children's life. Father, there's more, God. We're desperate, God. We are desperate, Father. We have got to see a move in the life of our children, God. In the life of all of our children, God. We have got to see a move, God. An earth-shaking move, God. God, something only you can do, Lord. A miracle, God. Something only you can do, God. That brings us assurance in our heart to know, God, that they're on the right path with you, God.
Yes.
Not just words, but action, Lord.
Yes.
Not just words, but action. My God, action that backs. You said faith without works is dead. Mm. Thank you for this, Father. For blessing our seed, God. We bless our seed, Father, with light, revelation, wisdom, understanding, God. That they will love us. They will love you, God. They will love their family, God, but they will love you, God, and they will follow you more passionately than we ever did, Lord. From generation to generation, it'll get stronger and stronger, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Verses 22, it says, And Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knee.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That was in my notes and I didn't share it. So
that
you know what?
Genesis 50:22 to 23.
Okay.
So, see what the blessing of that's the blessing of forgiveness right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He lived 110 years,
mm-hmm,
and lived to see his children's children to the, and one the child to the third generation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Why shut down the recorder? Anybody else?
Remember what Jesus said in the Beatitude.
Mm-hmm.
Bless those that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Forgive your enemy.
Yes.
I can share this, and I've shared it before. When God told me I had to go and ask for forgiveness for my ex-husband, mm-hmm, and I fussed. But when he said, if you can't forgive, mm-hmm, how do you expect for me to forgive you?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, Lord.
Yeah, I
want to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. So why can't you forgive? Mm-hmm. No problem.
That settled it, right?
That's right.
That settled it. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we choose to walk in forgiveness. So just like by faith. Mm-hmm. Just like we received you by faith. We've never seen you. Blessed is the one who's never seen you, but yet they believe.
Thank
well, blessed
you.
Are those that maybe don't feel like forgiven, forgive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are those that walk in forgiveness. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And know that it's not a feeling, it's a commitment.
That's
in
right.
Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else? If I shut down the recorder, anybody else? Any other comments? Amen.